This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman, along with Tyler Donaldson, and we'll start with Harvest Hotline. It's brought to you by U.S. Custom Harvesters, North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Sugar beet harvest nearing the finish line across much of the Red River Valley, though it's been a tougher push for growers in the north. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Executive Director Harrison Weber says progress has been steady despite the mud.
We sit here today, I think we're at about 85% down American Crystal. A lot of guys, crooks and south are either done or will be wrapping up real shortly. Certainly a battle for the boys up north, and all I can say is keep pushing and keep scraping mud and keep pulling trucks, and we'll get it. We'll get it.
While harvest conditions have been a challenge, Weber says yield's looking good and factories running full capacity.
I think tonnage, we're going to be right at our maximum for factory capacity, which is good. Right now we're scheduled to leave a couple percent for beets, which is certainly frustrating as a farmer, but as co-op owners, we recognize the importance of maximizing our factory assets there. And so good on tonnage. I'd say sugar's just a hair lower than we'd like to see, but certainly as the crop is still out there, it is putting on sugar, especially up north. And so, we'll see where the dust settles or where the mud lands when we finally get this crop in the pile.
Harvest moving along in northwestern Minnesota after recent rain delays. CHS agronomist Brian Oakes says conditions have improved and farmers are making lots of progress in the corn.
Things are looking pretty good right now. We've had some rain systems set us back, kind of like most of the region. Beans got ramped up. Everybody's well into the corn acres right now, or you finally getting rolling again after the rain shut down. Things are running good. Guys are pleased with where things are at for yield and quality wise. So that's been a nice thing to see. A lot of guys pushing hard here to try and get another big slug off before the next system.
Oak says corn yields this fall have been especially good across the Thief River Falls area.
It is definitely going to be one for the books. A lot of guys talking about possibly, one of the top two or three crops they've ever raised, and so that's been a nice that's been good to hear. I know a lot of guys starting to get towards some storage issues. Storing the big wheat crop we had, and hanging on to some of the beans too, waiting for the market to come around. Guys are, the storage is starting to get a little tight here with the three crops all being above average. But that's a good problem. It's nice to have full bins.
And that's Harvest Hotline, sponsored by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, and U.S. Custom Harvesters.
USDA recently announcing Farm Service Agency offices open again despite the ongoing stalemate in funding the federal government. American Farm Bureau Federation Director of Government Affairs, Brian Glenn, said the office are reopening to provide vital services to farmers.
The county Farm Service Agency offices will carry out programs such as disaster aid, marketing assistance loans, indemnity programs, dairy margin coverage, and more farm safety net programs like ARC and PLC payments to ensure farmers and ranchers receive the payments and commitments so they can continue to plan for their next season.
Glenn said this may be standard operating procedure for some time as the government shutdown drags on.
Unfortunately, a resolution to this shutdown is not really in sight, and congressional Republicans and Democrats are still at a stalemate. So the Senate has voted several times on this House-passed funding bill, and it has failed every time. But there are triggers coming up that will put additional pressure on Congress to get something done.
North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney is calling on the state's congressional delegation to take stronger action on behalf of agriculture. Watney says farmers are facing major disruptions due to current federal policies, warning that inaction could have lasting effects on both producers and consumers.
We're starting to pit the consumer against the farmer. We're going to bring in product potentially from Argentina that's lower quality, which is not really going to solve the pricing problem that consumers see, and it's going to make the consumers less likely to want to buy beef in the future because it's not as good of beef as we produce in the country. We have just seen a study out now that shows that there's likely that soybeans to China will not happen until 2027. They have the ability to make it through 2026 without buying U.S. beans. And we're going to become basically a residual supplier of the world.
Watney says the ongoing government shutdown is compounding the problem and delaying much-needed progress on health care and farm policy.
You can try to pick the blame of who's Dems or Repubs or whatever. You can do that. I just think that's totally irrelevant. I think it's time to come together. But here's the problem, and this goes back to my original comments. The problem is that the folks that believe in helping people with subsidies and health care do not trust this administration to actually bring it back to the table. What's the guarantee? Well, when you got a president that lies to the people, you got an administration that isn't being truthful, when you got people not holding them accountable, it's pretty hard for whoever it is to say, well, I trust you now.
House Ag Subcommittee on Nutrition and Foreign Agriculture Ranking Member Johanna Hayes and Ranking Member Angie Craig urging Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins to use the SNAP Contingency Fund to ensure food benefits continue as the government shutdown nears its second month. In a letter signed by nearly every House Democrat, the lawmakers warning that without action, 42 million Americans could lose access to food assistance in November. Hayes and Craig said the administration has the authority and resources to continue SNAP operations, adding that failure to do so would be a, quote, gross dereliction of responsibility to the American people.
The National Corn Growers Association says California's new law expanding access to E15 fuels shows what could be achieved nationwide. If E15 had been available across California this year, it's estimated the demand would have increased by nearly 250 million bushels of corn, about 12% of the nation's excess corn supply. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you are listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. A new report from Farmers Business Network takes a closer look at how tariffs are shaping the cost of farm inputs in 2025 and beyond. Vice President of Category Management John Apple says old inventory helped hold down some prices this year, but that cushion is now gone.
All of that channel inventory has been depleted, and all of the inbound product that's come into the U.S. since that time has been subject to tariffs of varying extents, right? And so we know that now that's structurally part of the cost in the market already in the channel today. And so that's going to be felt by farmers going forward into 2026 here.
Apple says additional tariffs could make next year even tougher for farmers managing input costs.
Right after we released the report, there was another additional 100% tariff floated on China, right? So that one's still in the air, but we know, you know, right now it seems like that baseline 20% tariff, that's been a pretty much a fixture. And so what's been moving up and down has really been the reciprocal tariffs, and that's gone from 10% all the way up north of 100%, right? And so that's the piece that is kind of a moving target, but we think that at least that 20% and additional tariffs are probably going to be part of the math going forward.
Apple advising farmers to secure their inputs early to help manage costs and supply challenges heading into 2026.
Minnesota AgriGrowth is hosting its fall summit Thursday in St. Louis Park. According to AgriGrowth Executive Director Darren Broughton, there is a different format for this year's event.
We listen to what folks from industry and from farmers have told us they found the most valuable in our previous summits, and we have retooled that to reflect that feedback. So this year's summit, it will be predominantly a dinner focus and a reception for leaders to come together and have those great conversations.
This year's summit builds off AgriGrowth's focus on building a clear vision for the state's farm and food economy.
Because it is clear as day that Minnesota is adrift, and there is no clear sense of where we want this important historical sector of the state's economy to be 15 years from now. And so this year's summit builds on that great work with conversations with CEOs, and financial analysts to talk about what is it going to take to invest in Minnesota's ag food economy.
Registration for the summit can be done on the AgriGrowth website.
U.S. is on pace to set a new record for ethanol exports in 2025. The Energy Information Administration says exports have grown for the second straight year, driven by strong overseas demand, especially in the European Union. From January through July, U.S. ethanol exports averaging 138,000 barrels per day, the highest level for that period since 2010, above last year's record. Increased shipments to the Netherlands led much of that growth, with India, the U.K., and Canada also importing significant volumes. The EIA says higher exports have pushed U.S. ethanol production above pre-pandemic levels, even as domestic use remains flat.
The Clean Fuels Alliance America is urging U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer to close a loophole in the administration's reciprocal tariff regime. The group says an exemption for diesel and renewable diesel allows duty-free imports that undercut domestic producers. In a letter, Clean Fuels said the policy puts U.S. biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel producers, who are essential to America's energy and farm security, at a competitive disadvantage. Vice President of Federal Affairs Kurt Kovarik added that domestic biomass-based diesel represents 10% of the value of all U.S.-grown soybeans, emphasizing the need for trade policy that supports American producers.
Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota and Congresswoman Alyssa Slott of Michigan are leading a group of lawmakers raising concerns about the U.S. Department of Agriculture's proposed reorganization plan. The lawmakers say the plan could disrupt critical animal and plant health programs. In a letter to USDA Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden, the lawmakers said the reorganization could weaken the department's ability to respond to threats like New World screwworm and avian influenza. They also criticized the USDA for staff losses and slow hiring, warning that the plan could harm farmers, food prices, and public health. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Soybean Processors Association of India is urging its government to not allow imports of biotech soybeans from the United States. The organization claims these imports would hurt the country's goal of self-sufficiency. If realized, it would limit the opportunities with any trade deal between the United States and India.
BASF has received EPA approval for a new fungicide to address white mold called Zarina. Senior product manager Eric Garcia says white mold is a big issue.
And each year it becomes a bigger and bigger issue. So in 2024 alone, it's estimated that soybean farmers lost over 26 million bushels to white mold alone. And in severe cases, someone can expect to lose up to 80% of their yield potential if white mold, again, under severe pressure, is left untreated. So I can't stress enough the importance of making sure we control white mold in order to preserve those crop yields, and that's why we're so excited about the launch of Zarina fungicide.
Zarina can be used in soybeans, canola, and dry beans. Garcia wants farmers to be proactive, not reactive.
And so what that means for the farmer is applications in soybeans or dry beans around the R2 growth stage. R2 is important because sclerotinia, the pathogen that causes white mold, soybeans and dry beans are most susceptible at full bloom. So if you're applying a fungicide after full bloom, you've already lost the battle. With Zarina fungicide, we're making those applications at that R2 growth stage in order to get ahead of white mold, control it, as well as give you some additional long-term residual control against other foliar diseases.
Checking markets, Minneapolis wheat to December down 1.25, 556 three quarters. We have December Chicago down 1.5, 511 and a half. December KC up three quarters now, 5.75. Dease corn is down 4.5, 423 and a half. November soybeans were down 3.75, 1041. December live cattle down 725, 233.92. November feeders down 925, 352.20. This is the Red River Farm Network.